Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, good morning. How are you on this wonderful, beautiful Monday morning, April the 4th, 2022? You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights and we need to exercise our rights. Boy, do we have a show for you today like we do every single Monday. We're going to touch on a couple of very important topics. We're going to even do a review, just a short review, because I don't want to wear out Will Smith, because we've talked about him enough already. But I just want to talk about where we are now compared to what happened when he first slapped Chris Rock. So we're in another, it's all coming to pass. So we're going to talk about that on the show this morning. But before we do any of that, you can hear the show at blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. And on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _production. Eddie Jones Jr. underscore production, and you are live at the show. Now, if you want to listen on your cell phone, house phone, office phone, whatever kind of phone you might have, Android phone or Apple phone or whatever, Samsung, all you do is dial 646-787-8064. Let me repeat that, 646-787-8064. And then you press 1, it'll put you in the queue, and you'll be good to go. So that's right, 646, hey, Diana Forte, how are you? Good morning. 646-787-8064. Now, I'm on Facebook Live. You can go to Facebook Live right now, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, and you can join me on Facebook Live, and you can see me and right here live right now. Good morning, Diana. God bless you and your family. Without further ado, I want to get our co-host in the studio, our co-producer first, Clarence and Mallon. Welcome to the show, Clarence and Mallon. How are you, brother Clarence and Mallon? Welcome to the show.
Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I tell you what's going on, Pastor Eddie. What's going on to my other co-producers, to my other co-hosts, especially what's going on to all the listeners throughout this nation and around the world. You have just tuned in to the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. This show is written, and you are in here, Pastor Eddie.
All right, brother. Our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen, we're going to be hearing from him later on Lahana's Soul Brother and his book, Regulate the Manual. Those are his two books, and we always talk about either Lahana's Soul Brother, which is an amazing story, and also Regulate the Manual, which tells you how to regulate your life in this world that we're living in. But without further ado, we're going to get our health specialist, holistic health specialist, none other than my sister, Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera. Welcome to the show. How are you, Vera?
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, Clarence, all the co-hosts and listeners. I am wonderful. Thanks for asking.
It's such a pleasure to have Hey. Did you hear Clarence, Vera?
No, I didn't. What did you say, Clarence?
He said,
Vera,
good morning, Vera. And Diana Forte said good morning, and Felita Wiltz said good morning. So say hello to Felita Wiltz and Diana Forte.
Good morning, Felita, First Lady, and Diana.
Amen. Now, I just want to get started on this because a lot of things have changed since Will slipped on the stage and slapped Chris Rock. Well, Chris Rock did a show a couple of days ago, and his tickets went from $100 up to $300 and up a piece, and people paid them. People paid for those tickets to see Chris Rock. And when Chris Rock walked on the stage, they gave him a standing ovation. Yes, they did. Before he could even say a word, they gave him a standing ovation. And I think he deserves that standing ovation because when Will Smith walked up on the stage, Chris Rock put his hands behind his back to let them know that he wasn't a threat. And he put his hands behind his back to say, hey, Will, I don't want to fight with you, and I'm not trying to threaten you. I'm just up here doing my job. We're just telling jokes. And, you know, everybody, to this day, I don't think that joke about her being G.I. Jane was – I didn't think it was all that. I just thought it was a regular joke, and that's what comedians get paid to do. I still think it was a lot more to it, but we'll go to that in a little bit. But right now I just want to say – and so Will Smith has resigned from the Academy Awards. He resigned. That's right. Before they could suspend him or kick him out, whatever they were going to do, he just went on and resigned. So he's no longer a part of that. And he has a movie coming out. I forgot the name of the movie. Emancipation or something like that. And, well, he won't be getting an Oscar for that movie, I guarantee you. And a lot of people, I mean, I just went on Will Smith's YouTube page where he has a million fans. And all of his fans were angry at him, and they were all saying, like, why did you do that? I was your favorite fan. I'm no longer your favorite fan. I think that, and I'm going to say this. I'm saying this, okay? I'm speaking just me. what you might hear from someone else who calls in. And if you want to call in and talk about this or you want to comment, dial 646-787-8064. Some people are saying that Will Smith should just divorce Jada, that just divorce her and leave her alone, that she's been causing him a lot of problems. And anytime your wife will tell you sitting on her show, you know, and I'd like to get your opinion. Hey, Gloria Majors, how are you? Good morning, it's Gloria Majors. God bless you, Gloria, and the family. I love you guys. And I know you guys had a wonderful, wonderful homegoing celebration. I saw some of the video from Elaine, and you guys are all together taking pictures and like family should be. And I just love you guys. God bless you. Hey, Wanda Long. Good morning, Wanda. How are you, Wanda? Good morning, Wanda Long. All the way out there. Hey, God bless you guys. Now, I want to tell you, I feel like Will would be better off if he just divorced Jada for a period and went on a sabbatical for about 3 months away from everybody and just kind of got some counseling, some anger management, and some just revitalizing and rehabilitating his life, because I think he's really letting this stuff get to him. And for his wife to steal his thunder like that, she motivated him to go up on the stage to do that. And a real wife would not do that to her husband. I don't care if you're protecting your wife. There's a certain way to protect your wife. You don't have to get up in front of the whole world and slap a comedian to protect your wife. You can protect your wife by telling her, baby, after the show, I will address this issue in person with Chris Rock. You do not, especially if you're going to get the actor of the year. That was his thunder, to get the actor of the year for Richard Williams. Venus and Serena was sitting in the audience, and we're not going to go on this too long, but just for a minute. That should have never happened, okay? That should have never happened. I'm going to go to my dear brother, Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor, man. What do you, all the updates on Will Smith now, he resigned from the Academy. What do you think, man? Where does his career go from here?
Well, you know, he's not the first black major actor, celebrity, superstar, comedian, you name it, that has to go through the ringer of some sort, if I can use that. We look at Arsenio Hall, James Brown, Wesley Snipes. You know, it could go on and on for any given reason. If you step right out of that line of civility, maybe in Wesley's case would be criminal for the taxes. You look at,
yes,
Bill Cosby. You know,
yes,
you will be blackballed. So this is just the beginning, but, you know, it's a very difficult position. If you're a man, you're with your wife, and regardless of the arena, location, area, somebody says something about your wife's, you know, we were taught at an early age about the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And
mm-hmm.
when Chris Rock told the joke and the cameras went to Will Smith, you saw him beginning to smile. And then when you see the face of Jada, how she was blowing up, a man
mm-hmm.
is put in a position regardless where he at, and he did what he did. But I would have done the same, more than likely I would have. And any man, regardless of what's right, what's the high road, what's the low road, what's in the middle of that, would have probably done, and even a woman probably would have defended her man if the roles were reversed. It's a very difficult decision. It's a spare the moment occurrence
mm-hmm.
right there, Pastor Eddie. Should he have refrained? Yeah, he should have, but everybody can say what they would have done, but you never know until you get in that situation, Pastor Eddie. This society, this system, it teaches violence. It teaches reactions upon actions.
Mm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, who is to say, everybody want to say what they would have done, and all of these people who want to blackball him, half of them would have went out and got a gun.
Well, Brother Clarence, I got to tell you, man, there's no way in God's green earth I would have stood up and walked. If it was me, I would have never went up on that stage and slapped Chris Rock. I would have waited till after the show. I would have been very professional. I would have made sure I had security with me, and I would have went over and I would have addressed him man to man, eye to eye. See, God says in the Bible, when you have a problem, hey, good morning. Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, Mrs. Robinson. How are you? God bless you. You know, in the Bible it says that you go to the person that you have a problem with and you talk to them about it. That's what's in the Bible. I will follow the Bible all the way. There's no way in God's green earth he should have had his thunder stolen like that. I mean, his wife already knew what was going to happen if he went up on that stage. She knew it. She knew it. So she should have said, Will, not now. Not now. Wait till you get your Oscar. You know, wait till you get your Oscar, and then after you get your Oscar, you can go talk to Chris, and you and Chris can have it out backstage. And then if it comes out in the public,
Daddy,
later, yes, go right ahead.
You are real, and you are correct in everything you just said. With everything you said earlier in this show, she knew what this Oscars was all about. This Oscars before they even got dressed to go there, like you said, is about Will Smith, him getting his accolade. They knew he was going to win. And you know, you went in to say earlier in the show about things that happened even before the Oscars, her outside actions in the marriage, some guy over there and her and this guy. So, you know, man, you have a lot of validity in what you're saying, Eddie. Man, I'm rolling with you in this limousine.
Yes. Well, you know, it's so amazing because, wait a minute, I'm having some technical difficulties, I guess, because I'm speaking about something that's so powerful. My video has been paused, but let's be patient and let's see. Hopefully, we'll get the video back. But I want to say this. I just don't understand for the life of me why he couldn't just restrain himself until further notice. I think because we're talking about this right now, I'm having a problem with my video. It's just all of a sudden it's just starting to act up, and that's not cool. Let's see. And this is not even true. It's saying that because of poor wireless connection. Now, I had no poor wireless connection as long as I was talking about something wonderful. Now, let's see. Okay, it's ending the video. Okay, so I'm going to have to do this all over again. So everybody stand by for a second. Stand by. And I'm going to redo this again. And so, Brother Clarence, please, well, let's go to Vera. Vera, take the floor. I want to hear your opinion on what you think. Will Smith resign from the Academy, and which I don't think he should have did that. I don't think he should have resigned from the Academy. I think he should have just went on and allowed them to do what they were going to do, but I guess he knew he was going to get kicked out. And so, Vera, take the floor. What do you think?
That was his personal opinion to resign from the Academy, and he probably felt that they were, like you mentioned, they were going to do that anyway. Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago you feel as if that he should divorce his wife, and I feel that if they do a sabbatical, they can do it together as a couple, and they can decide personally what, because they are one. And they are together, and they did have an open relationship. So if they're going to do something, yes, it must be done together. However, we have to be able to control our anger. And there is a platform and a time for everything in season.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Vera. Wow, it's just so amazing how just right in the middle of this conversation, I've never had any problems like this before. Normally, Facebook works so good, and it just had a problem just now, which probably because of the political topic that we're discussing.
It's working.
Yes, I just got it back up just now, so I want to apologize to all the people that were on Facebook Live. Come on back, you guys. Come on back, and because I feel like, you know, this is controlled by the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, and all that. Some things they don't want you to talk about, especially like if you're talking about coronavirus, If you're talking about political stuff, if you're talking about the war in Ukraine, they'll cut you off. So anyway, I'm back. Come on over to Facebook Live, everybody. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. Come on back. Or you can listen to the show on the phone at 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. And press 1 and it'll put you in the queue and you can comment. Or you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com. It's going out again. This is sure not cool. All right, so I don't know why, but we're having a problem with Facebook Live this morning. So let's see what we can do with something else here. Brother Clarence, come on back, Brother Clarence. We're talking about Will Smith, and I'm not going to talk about it too much longer, but I just couldn't help but talk about it because it's just really important that we understand where Will is right now and what Will is going through. And I think he's going through a lot of stress right now. What do you think, Brother
Well,
Clarence?
I tell you, he's making a lot of money. King Richard is still huge at the box office. He's still going to get royalties from that. He got royalties coming from other shows. It was huge, if I can mention Chris Rock, about him.
Yes.
Stopping all the hecklers from he said, we're not going to do that. And so, you know,
right.
That's a huge brother. You know, it seems to appear that he didn't know about Jada Pinkett alopecia condition, her hair condition. And that's what comedians do, man. You said it last week on the show. When you sit in that front row, then the comedian's going to see you. If they see something, they're going to pick it out. And they're going to area a joke for that discussion. And so this is what they get paid to do. It was a joke. Was it a good joke? No, it wasn't a good joke for those who knew about her health condition with her hair. So, you know, it's a learning experience for Will Smith. Even his mother said she was surprised of his actions. So he got pulled out of character. Denzel said, when you're at your height, the devil is going to show up, you know, and this was Will Smith's moment, one of the greatest moments you could have live at the largest accolades you can have for the Screen Actors Guild, the movie industry, and all that. So, you know, there's a thing called forgiveness. There's a thing called move on. The learning curves. For all of us, this is something for all of us to take something from and apply to our life and learn from it, you know, because I tell you, man, just being real about it, even me being a regulator, even me being born again, practicing to do right each and every day, practicing to live in a godly life each and every day, to talk right each and every day, we can get pulled out of our character in the spur of the moment. It happens.
Yes, it does. It does happen. And that's the reality of the whole thing. That's why, you know, if I have the chance, I would love to talk to Will Smith and ask him what exactly was on his mind at that time. And I'm quite sure, I don't know who's going to get the interview with Will Smith. Jada Pinkett came out and did an interview. And as you know, on, oh my gosh, SNL, Saturday Night Live went in on Will Smith. I mean, they really did. Yeah, of course, it's comedy, but it was real. And, you know they're going to make it into a big joke. Did either one of you get a chance to see Saturday Night Live this past weekend?
No,
did you, Brother
not
Clarence?
At all.
How about you, Brother Clarence? Did you look at Saturday Night Live?
I did catch a small skit of the last part where they were showing the crowd a little bit. Yeah, they did. Clown about it, make cracks and jokes about it, and it's, you know, that's what they do on Saturday Night Live. They find the biggest stories. You know, I love it when it first come on because they have the greatest comical acts to show at the beginning. you know, I liked it when what's his name that had the shooting on his stage when he was playing Trump. He was really good. They have a new guy, but the Will Smith act, they showed Will Smith sitting down, and you know, Saturday Night Live is good, man. If something huge happens during the week,
yeah,
turn to Saturday Night Live, you'll get it.
It was funny, man. It was so funny. I'm sorry, I had to laugh. I mean, you know, Saturday Night Live, they do comedy, SNL, that's what they do. So they did a reenactment, and it was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Okay, I'm on Facebook Live again. I hope that I won't have any more technical difficulties on Facebook Live. Come on Facebook Live. You're supposed to do your job, you know. But whenever it comes to civil rights, constitutional rights, and human rights, I always have a problem with this. You know, we start talking about something that's really important. And this is important because no black man on the planet Earth needs to act out in that manner. It's not acceptable. Violence is not acceptable. It's not necessary. It's not mandatory. Violence is never the answer to a situation, even if it's your wife. 1 second of that kind of passion can put you in prison for life. You could do something to protect your wife and be gone to prison, and she's out there with somebody else now because you're not going to be there to take care of her because you're going to be locked up. So you got to think before you act. You have to analyze and evaluate the situation and put things in perspective with what you would like to see happen. What's up, Moni Scott? How are you on Facebook Live? Everybody, tell somebody else about Facebook Live. You know, we had some technical difficulties earlier, but we're back. We're back. And hopefully we'll stay, you know, on. And we're going to get off of Will Smith in just a moment. So, Vera, let me get your closing remarks, Vera. Vera, what's your closing remarks on Will Smith? Give me your closing remarks.
My closing remark is that we are all human, and the most important thing is to first think before we act. So I'm sending out prayers to him, the family, and Chris Rock as well, because they're all going through something.
Good, good, good. Wonderful. Thank you very much. And Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. Give us your closing remarks. Thank you, Regulator. I see you on Facebook Live. Go ahead, Clarence. Give us your closing remarks on Will Smith. Just on Will Smith.
Yeah,
we're going to leave Jada out of this.
It's a great opening topic, man. Will Smith is still going to always be one of my favorite actors. Man, I forget him. I overlooked it because I know. If I was sitting there, I probably would have done the same thing. There are very few people who could say something that might have reacted different. We don't know unless you be in that moment. You know, we can look back at our own histories where we might have got into a fight. What started that fight? Could have changed what happened? So, you know, being real, being honest, and being truthful about it, man, very few people would have did something differently. But doing something differently, more understanding, more peacefully, and speaking to your partner, and like you said, Eddie, addressing it later with that person, it would have been a much better outcome for him.
Right. Well, we're going to move on from the Will Smith subject matter. I mean, it got real deep here, Will Smith. But we're going to move on to our first topic. Our first topic, all right, and this is really important because we talked about this like at last year. So here we are in 2022, and I don't see much of a change, so I want to talk about this. Is our homeless problem out of control? Is our homeless problem out of control? If you ask me, yes, it's out of control. They have not regulated the homeless problem yet. I see sheriff's department are going in places they don't normally go. They just started going to Hollywood because Hollywood is a dangerous place right now. I don't know if you guys know, but tourists are being robbed every day. They got people getting shot and stabbed and walking in stores and walking out with stuff, food, clothes, or whatever. So the sheriff's department has an assignment. They have assigned themselves to Hollywood, which has never happened in the history of Hollywood because Hollywood is normally patrolled by LAPD. But the homeless problem is so gigantic and so out of control. Now, at first, it was just downtown Los Angeles. And then the surrounding areas, Crenshaw area, Baldwin Hills, just certain places you would see a lot of homeless tents. Now you see tents on the corners in Beverly Hills. Yeah, I've seen tents in Beverly Hills. Yeah, so the homeless problem, if you ask me, it has not been regulated by the city council. It has not been regulated by the county board of supervisors, and it definitely hasn't been regulated by the governor. Even though we've seen the governor go into neighborhoods and they're cleaning up, but that's what they show you, that they're cleaning up. So without further ado, I mean, wait a minute, we have a caller in the 217 area code. Let's see if we have caller in the 217-200 area code. Are you there? Good morning. Welcome to the show. Good morning. Good morning. Tell us your name.
I'm Josh. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Josh, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from East Central Illinois.
Oh, man. Are you by Peoria, Illinois?
That's like an hour and a half drive, 2 hours, depending on if you obey the speed limit.
How about Champaign, Illinois?
Champaign, it's like, Champaign is like, we're kind of in that trifecta between, we're south of Chicago, west
right.
of Indianapolis, and northeast of St. Louis, so we're kind of in that middle area.
Well, you know, it's amazing because I was at the 2300 Jackson Street in Gary, Indiana, where the Jacksons grew up. I actually did an Airbnb on the house next door, and I was there with Catherine Jackson and the Jackson family when they did a tribute to Michael Jackson after he passed away, and they redid the house. Have you ever went over there and seen that house since you live in Illinois?
No, sir. I made it my point never to go to Gary, Indiana for any reason. Because I was heading south, and then I wasn't paying attention to my phone, and I ended up in Gary, Indiana, and I saw some scary stuff, and I'm like, no, not twice.
Right. Oh, yeah, Gary, Indiana is a rough place. But oh, wait,
yes,
hold
sir.
On. Don't go anywhere, Josh. Let me get somebody else in the studio with this without further ado. Okay, caller in the 503-747 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
It's Linda Goldie. Everybody say good morning to Linda Goldie. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Linda Goldie.
Can I share a very short poem with you right now?
Yes, you can. But before you do, you got to say good morning to Josh. He's our guest on the show. Everybody say good morning to Josh from Illinois.
Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Josh.
Morning,
welcome
folks.
To the show.
Morning,
now,
everybody.
Now, hold that. Now, Linda, hold that poetry. We're going to get you in just a moment. Josh,
okay.
What's on your heart, Josh? Did you want to talk about Will Smith, or what did you want to talk about? Or do you want to talk about
Will
the homeless
Smith.
Problem?
Well, I can talk about both. Will Smith, the whole situation there is just sad. That's a toxic relationship that turned into an embarrassment for a bunch of people. That's too easy to talk about. The homeless problem, I've lived in a bunch of different states, lived in a bunch of cities, and the reality of the situation when it comes to the homeless, you don't give them money, you don't give them houses, you send them to rehab facilities or psychiatric clinics. That,
right.
That's why
you know, I don't know. You know, Josh, they say that they're building these tiny homes for the homeless. They're doing all this for the homeless, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening fast enough. I mean, you have homeless people walking in people's backyards, stealing out of stores, attacking people with knives. I mean, it's just out of control. When the governor Reagan was in office and he shut down all the psychiatric wards, hospitals, they had nowhere to go but to the streets. Good morning. I want to say good morning to Miko. I want to say good morning to Jackie Denby. Hey, what's up, family? What's up, Evangelist Virginia Valentine? And everybody is on Facebook Live right now. Elaine, Molly Scott, everybody. So let's go back to you, Josh. Josh, what would you do? Give us a solution to the homeless problem.
Well, the homeless problem, that's the symptom itself. Being homeless is a symptom of the problem. The problem is drug abuse. The problem is psychiatric problems, mental instability. When we focus, you can't give them money. I don't know how many homeless people they tried to house where they would use the apartment for like 2 or 3 days until they could go out and panhandle again, and then they would go get their fix. you know, it's not about a roof over their head because they don't care about that. The problem is actually drug abuse. The problem is actually psychiatric disorders. So them being homeless is a symptom of the actual causal effect. And I'm just saying, when we keep putting Band-Aids on knife wounds when it comes to talking about helping the homeless, you know, we put up all these shelters everywhere. Maybe, I don't know. I have three solutions to this. One, psychiatric clinics help the homeless people interact with, you know, be able to take care of their demons or whatever. Two, rehab facilities to help them get off the drugs, get off the alcohol. And three, I don't know, career training facilities to teach them how to woodwork, be a plumber, be an electrician, something that would actually give them a purpose in life, because you don't end up on the streets for no reason.
I agree with you. Hold that thought, Josh. Don't go anywhere. Vera Jones, you just heard what Josh said about the homeless problem. Vera, what do you think about what Josh said? I think he came up with some pretty good ideas. Vera, take the floor. How do you feel about what Josh said about the homeless situation? Vera, are you there? Okay, let's go to Clarence and Allen.
Yes, I love everything Josh mentioned, because we do have a terrible problem. And first, I would say permanent housing. And he did mention rehab, medical treatment, psychiatric info, and there are so many sick people down there. And so what do they turn to? They turn to the drugs. They turn to the alcohol. So we all have clothes. We all have shoes. We have blankets. We have things, items that we're not even using. So what I used to do is bag them up and take them downtown. And at my church, we would cook up food. So what are they eating? Whatever they can. So basically, with the tiny homes that you mentioned, Eddie, yeah.
Yes.
That takes a whole lot of time as well, because the funding, we have some funding, but we don't have enough funding. And in order for them to get housing, they should have to go through testing, training, learning how to become a part of society again, because some have been homeless for 20 years. So
yeah.
Their mental health is totally not like any other, and they're networking together. They're swarming into just one particular society. So they have to learn how to do this again with training, regular testing, medical treatment, foods, and foods. They should have some type of store where they can only purchase foods from whatever special card they get and not use the funds for drugs and alcohol. So that's just my theory.
Wow, that's a good one. I agree with you, Vera, 100%. For some reason today, Facebook Live has never done this. Never. I don't know if it's because we're talking about the reality of this is a civil rights issue. The homeless problem is definitely a civil rights issue, because people need to, they need help. If they didn't need help, they wouldn't be out there on the streets. And I think it's the government's job to provide facilities that can help regulate, and I'm using regulate, our homeless problem here in America. Not just in Los Angeles, California, but in Texas, Chicago, Detroit, Illinois. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's becoming a way of life for a lot of people. Go right ahead, Josh.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, can I disagree with you on that?
Well, of course you can. That's why we...
The government has been misspending in pretty much every arena all over the place. They misspend on everything. They ended up spending how much, like $30,000 to keep buying tents and paying for food and stuff. Like I said, this is consistently putting a Band-Aid on a knife wound. You need to suture that, cut off, you know, you need to actually fix the bleed. You need to make sure that the wound is healing properly, but they don't do that. They just see a knife wound, which is the homeless issue, and they're like, okay, well, we got Band-Aids for days, so let's just keep slapping money on it, make sure that we keep throwing money, keep feeding everybody, keep – and I heard that crack pipe thing from from the Biden campaign. They're like, yeah, well, you know, clean heroin needles and clean crack pipes and stuff like that. It's like, no, dude, you're not fixing the problem. You're possibly saving a few people from a terrible disease, but the reality of the situation is homeless people do not become homeless for no reason. Now, there is a minuscule, and I'm saying a small percentage, of homeless people that become homeless because, you know, high medical bills or ridiculous restructuring where they lost their job and they just couldn't find another one because they were in some kind of strange field. But a lot of the homeless people, especially the ones that fled out to California, they have drug addictions and they have mental health issues. And you tackle those problems first. Sure, build tiny houses.
Amen.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, hold that thought for a second. Hey, Josh, Josh, hold that thought 1 second. Wanda Long said, great topic, and this is on Facebook Live. My Facebook Live keeps going in and out. And as Jackie Denby said, they are messing with my feed this morning. But Wanda said, great topic, and we see the homeless issue existing all over the country. We can do what we can individually by volunteering and donating when we can to this very, very serious problem. So I want to commend Wanda Long for saying that, because it's important. We all need to get involved. And I do want to say this. It is the government's job, and I'm not talking about Band-Aids either, because the government is already sending $1 billion to Ukraine. If they can send a billion dollars to Ukraine, they can definitely send $1 billion to the homeless situation, because that's what it's going to take, a lot of money and a lot of people who don't mind volunteering. Because let me give you this perfect example. A young nurse, well, she wasn't young. She was in her late 40s, early 50s, was on her way to work. She catches the train and the bus because it's most convenient for her not to drive. While sitting there, a homeless man attacked her and beat her to her death. She, when by the time they wheeled her into the hospital to get her into the emergency triage area, she flatlined. And this homeless person was, of course, he was arrested and charged with murder, but this is after the fact. I've seen homeless people walk up and ask people for money, and they give them a dollar. They throw the dollar on the ground and start walking around and breathing hard and acting crazy. We don't need that on our streets. We have kids who have to experience that. We have elderly people experiencing it. Good morning, Pastor Lori and Evangelist Virginia Valentine. We don't need that on our streets. What we need on our streets is we need more protection. We need more policing, better, much better policing. I remember a homeless guy that got into it with a police officer, and the police officer shot the guy and killed him. Was that the answer to the problem? No. That guy needed counseling. He needed a relationship with people who can understand his situation, because just because a person is homeless, you don't know how they became homeless. They could have, like Josh said, they could have lost their job, and some people have lost their home because the rent is so high right now, you're spending $2,500 on a one-bedroom. So we don't know what caused them to be homeless, but we know the solutions that can help to stop the homeless problem. I'm going to go to Clarence and Allen, but wait a minute, hold on. Before we go to Clarence and Allen, we got to call another call away. Okay. Linda Goldie, are you there? Linda Goldie, are
yes,
you there?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Now, Linda, you said you wanted to do it. We're right in the middle of talking about...
Okay,
yes,
I'd like to add something about this topic. I've been homeless, and I was never addicted to drugs or alcohol. And there are a lot of women that leave abusive relationships where they were not allowed to work. They have no work history, and they end up being homeless. There are a lot of children that come from abusive homes that become homeless. So it's not just men that are addicted. There are a lot of women and children on the streets, and they are also prey to the men that are addicted. So, you know, I'd like to just make that clear. And then there's elderly people also that are homeless. So,
yes.
You can't just put a blanket that everybody that's homeless has a mental problem.
No, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry to interrupt, but there was never a blanket statement. There is 5,000 reasons that anybody can lose their home. There's actually a company in New York that trains women how to become bakers, so they can either start their own company as like a bakery anywhere in America, or, you know,
right,
I'm just saying these are the conversations, Josh, we need to be having.
Right, right. Well, Josh, no, that's a good point. But I want to hear Linda Goldie out. Linda's from Oregon. Everybody, you know, Linda Goldie is from Oregon. She's a poet. She does poetry and motion on our show. So I want to finish hearing Linda. Go ahead, give us your closing. What you were saying about the homeless situation. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah. Well, it's all good, you know, to have training and everything like that. But you know, like it's been said, somebody needs a place to stay while they're being trained. You know, that housing is the most important aspect.
Right.
Whether somebody uses it or abuses it, you know, it's still necessary, and it's the only thing that's going to give somebody a chance. Because
we have a caller. Hold that thought, Linda. We have a caller in the 832-880 area code. 832-880 area code. Are you there? Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Caller in 832-880. Good morning. Welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. How are you this morning?
Good. I'm great, Brother Eddie. This is James Hudson out of Houston, man.
Hey, Brother James Hudson. Everybody say good morning to James Hudson out of Houston, Texas. Good morning, Brother James.
Good morning, James.
Welcome to the show, James. What's on your heart, brother? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
I just want to take a second, man, to thank you guys so much for those calls that you made on last week. We actually still making those calls, but we got up to 500 calls about the Joshua Johnson situation last week. You know, we were calling out Commissioner Rodney Ellis, Commissioner Garcia. Anyway, those people told me, Mr. Hudson, the lady, the secretary, said these phones have been ringing off the wall. And so that's exactly what we needed, because I know that they are viewing those documents that we gave to show that the killing of Joshua Johnson was a cover-up. And so so I ask you to keep praying for Joshua's family as well as for myself, my safety. Last night I had some man out in my backyard back here. And I can see on my Facebook page where they are monitoring everything that I do. The DA's office actually told me that my face when I went to before a grand jury, that they monitor all of my social media. Now, just think about this. They'll monitor me, but they won't monitor the man that's accused of killing Joshua Johnson.
Now, James, hold on. Let me ask you a question. You're in Texas, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so in Texas, don't you have the right to bear arms?
Oh yeah. You have the right to bear arms. Oh, I have arms. I have arms. So that's
question, James. When somebody's on your property in Texas, don't you have the right to shoot them?
Yes, by all means. Yes, you do. Yes, but what I'm trying to do is I'm following the advice of the Spirit of God, which means as long as they can't get into my house, because I'm not going outside looking for anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm protected by the Spirit of God. And so and God has told me, fear not, I am with you. So I'm not afraid of people walking around in my yard. They can walk all they want to as long as they're not inside my house. Then that's when I'm going to bear my arms. But so I'm not afraid of that. You know, when you're fighting for – you know, today is the anniversary of Dr. King's death, and you know, and he said, you know, if when you don't stand up against injustice, man, you are just unjust yourself. So all these people, I'm not afraid of any of this. I'm not afraid of anything. Even if I lose my life, so be it. I'm going to follow the Spirit of God telling me to fight for this man's family, because I know what was done to him was unjust. So I just because I know you guys got a great time. Yeah. So, but we're still making those calls. I'm going to put those numbers back on your page. I'm going to try to get up to another 100 calls today. We just want those things to keep ringing. As I said, we presented those documents to the entire commissioner's court. That's all those commissioners and the head, Linda Hidalgo, who's the head judge here in Harris County. So just keep praying for the family, man. I'm doing my part. That's all I can do. I said I would do what God tells me to do, and that's what I'm going to do one way or the other.
Amen. And now, when I asked you about bearing arms and I said, can you shoot somebody in your property, I'm just talking about your civil and constitutional and human rights. I wasn't, you know, I want everybody who's listening to the show to know I'm not saying go out and shoot somebody because they're in your backyard. But in Texas, there have been cases where Caucasians have shot African Americans that were crossing their yard, maybe going to school or whatever. There's been cases like that. But I'm just saying,
right.
is you know, we got to be careful how we exercise our rights, and that should be for everyone. So I just want to put out a disclaimer. I'm not saying go and shoot anybody, but if someone's on your private property in certain states, you have the right to bear arm, and you have the right to, if you want to, annihilate them if they're on your property. Now, that's not in Los Angeles, California at all, but it is in Texas, and it is in Arizona, so in other states. So I'm just saying, I'm just telling you what the law is, and I don't practice law because I'm not a lawyer. You know, I'm an advocate, so I advocate for things that are important. But we're talking about a very serious topic, and not to switch roles. I want you to know, James, I did call down there. I'm one of the people that called. I asked all my co-hosts and all my co-producers to call down there again. So please post those numbers up on my page again. But, James, I got to ask you, what do you think about this homeless problem, and what do you think a solution is? Go ahead, James Hudson.
Okay, well, real quickly, I think you've already answered that when you said if we got $1 billion to send anywhere, I don't care if it's to send to those people
in Ukraine,
and my heart goes out to those people. But the bottom line is that just shows the point when they keep saying we don't have money for this, we don't have money. We have enough money to handle the homeless problem right now. This is America. If they wanted to stop the homelessness in America, they could do it. And they just have to make it priority. That's just the bottom line. That's just my thought about it. We can handle anything that we want to handle. When the time comes up, where does all this money come from? Because this is the United States of America, and we've got the money. That's just the bottom line. So it's just not a problem.
Josh, are you still with us, Josh? Josh,
yes.
Are you still there? Now, Josh,
yes,
I want you to meet James Hudson. James Hudson is a writer. He's a producer. He's an advocate. He's also a civil rights activist, and he's doing a lot of great work on the case of the young man that was murdered, that was actually out on the street minding his own business. He was babysitting a neighbor. He actually lived next door to the neighbor that he was babysitting, if I'm getting the story right. And James has written a play about it. But James, Josh, when you heard what you heard from James Hudson, what did you think about that incident where this young African-American was shot and killed for no reason by a police officer, and it's been covered up, and the police officer, I mean, we're talking about police brutality right now. We're not talking about just shooting, you know, like shooting a criminal. We're talking about shooting an innocent person that had no criminal record. What do you think about that, Josh?
I think that any law enforcement that goes above and beyond their ability and their legal justification to commit violence against people should be thrown in prison, and depending on what they did, be buried under the prison, just like the criminals they arrest on a daily basis. And two, I think that throwing money at the situation, yeah, if you get $1 billion, you should give that to advocacy groups and people that are actually out there helping people, because the government doesn't actually do anything positive. So if you get $1 billion, I don't know, take away university endowments. That would be hilarious because they're just making things worse. But I'm just saying if you relocate that funding to actually helping the situation on our soil, you could actually find groups that are making good decisions, doing positive things to help these homeless people. And I'm very sorry to hear that the young man lost his life. Whoever did that, no matter what crazy title we give him societally, if he's a police officer, if he was even a sheriff, I don't care if he was a governor or president. If he did it wrongfully, yeah, bury him under the prison. You do not kill another man just because of his status.
Now, Josh, I got to get some understanding here. So I want to make sure I'm hearing you clearly. Are you stating to me that if we are given $1 billion for the government to clean up the homeless problem, that you don't think the money will go in the right direction to clean up the homeless problem? Is this what I'm saying, am I hearing this right now?
No. I'm saying that if the government is given $1 billion in the state of California or the state of anywhere, and the government is responsible for overseeing the use of that funding to help the homeless, it won't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying if they give that
money,
hold that thought.
James Hudson, I want you to chime in on that right there. What do you think, Brother James? Let me hear your response.
Well, again, money can be allocated to all type of things, but $1 billion goes a really, really long way. If you just think about it, especially if you throw it at one state, if you can't stop homelessness with $1 billion, then you're not going to stop it at all. That's just my opinion. And again, if the government is going to put money out there, then they have to give it to agencies that they know that are credible to handling these type of situations. Because there's too many times, he's right about that, that money is funneled out to different agencies and it doesn't go for where it was intended to go. But that's the problem.
All right.
$1 billion will be
the
problem.
Brother Clarence, excuse me one second. Brother Clarence M. Allen, I want you to chime in on what you just heard from Brother Josh and Brother James Hudson. What do you think? Take the floor, Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer.
Yes. First of all, Pastor Eddie, to our guests and listeners, co-hosts, co-producers, we're witnessing a living, like, slow-motion Holocaust. You know, this nation has created this problem. And so the people who are living out here, for some reason, whatever it is, they have become the victims of these situations of running out of a place to stay to becoming living on the streets. Some people who are living on the streets want to live out there because they don't want to live under any kind of rule of law, any kind of rule or regulation of a place to stay. And like Brother Josh said, you know, we need rehabilitation facilities because if you house someone and they still have that addiction, they still have that disease of drugs, alcohol, you name it, it just puts them inside to continue doing it. You know, this is a humanitarian disaster we're looking at nationwide, Pastor Eddie. You know, you look at some people out there, man, they have accumulated so much trash that they think they might be able to use for another day. But who knows if they can. You know, the city will come in, take all of their belongings, throw it in the gypsy dump, and then that person has to start over again. Nowhere to go. Not housed. Some of them don't want to be housed. They may have the agencies there to house them, but this is a disaster. So until we go to the other side of the fence and head off the drug producers, the drug facilitators, and go in on foot on the ground right there at the place and get people to come in to rehabilitate themselves, to go to a detox facility, to stay there. So it's just, you have to tackle this every area. You just can't pinpoint no one area. This has to be an all-on-front attack to help people, to cure them of whatever illness, mental, psychological, spiritual, whatever it is. Whatever disease that is, whatever their cause was, to bring them back. Some people, they wasn't born homeless. They had a mom. They had a dad, most of them. They had siblings.
Yes.
But somewhere along the life, they picked up some breadcrumbs, like Hansel and Gretel, if I can use that folklore for example, if you will. And they lost their way of direction in life. Something taking their mind. And they went for that ride spiraling downhill in life. So we're looking at a humanitarian disaster. This is a slow-motion Holocaust to death for many of them out there. Some of them even out there have jobs, but they can't afford the place to stay, like was earlier stated in this show. So this is just something that has to be attacked and approached from every direction, every angle, and all the facilities for every area will have to be on the ground right there in those moments to provide help and a new direction where life.
Now, Brother Clarence, I want to thank you so much for sharing that. And now, you know, today you're going to have to step into Professor Reem's shoes today because the professor is on a very big project at the university, so he will not be with us today. And normally we would have Professor Reem, our professor on the show, who is a co-producer on our show. I want to go to you, Vera Jones. Let me get your closing remarks, Vera, on the homeless situation in America. Go right here. Give us your closing remarks because we're getting ready to move to another subject and another topic. And Josh, don't go anywhere. We need to hear from you again. And James Hudson, please don't go anywhere. We want to hear from you on our next topic, which is coming up in just a few minutes. Go ahead, Vera, take the floor. Give us your closing remarks on the homeless situation in America.
Well, Eddie, I adore what everyone has mentioned because it's like putting a puzzle together. So everyone, like Josh and James and Linda and Clarence and you and I, we are putting a puzzle together for solutions because that's exactly what we need, solutions, because we know the problem exists. And it's time to do something about it. That's my closing remark.
Wow, thank you very much, Vera. I want to go to Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, give us your closing remarks on the homeless problem.
The thing is to, you know, a lot of churches, like my church, for instance, has a meal on Tuesday that people can come to for free. Well, you know, I was part of that, for a while. And I was sitting at the table with a bunch of homeless people, and it occurred to me that they don't know where to go. And so I had some, I'm always collecting information, like of places where people can go. And so I had that in my phone book, and so I just opened it up one day, and I was sitting with this homeless family. There was a family of two kids, two boys, a dog and a cat, and a mom and a dad living in a truck. You can imagine that. And so I had the man copy down all of the information that I had. So he knew where to go. He knew who to call. But a lot of people, you know, they don't think to provide that information for somebody. They just assume that, well, it's out there, and they should know where to go. So that's part of the solution too.
Yes, thank you so much, Linda Goldie, and we're going to come back for your poetry in just a minute. Without further ado, I want to go to Brother Josh. Josh, give us your closing remarks on the homeless situation, the homeless crisis in America.
The homeless crisis is one of many things that have been a detriment to our society since it started. The only way forward that would actually be meaningful is for local community members to take a part and take a leading role in solving it. We can throw money at it all day, but like I said, if you throw money to random consultants and all these other people, it means nothing. You need to be giving that money to the local community leaders. They're the only ones that are going to solve the problem locally. That's all.
Thank you so much. Now, last but not least, I want to go to – yes, did I hear someone say something? Go right ahead.
I said amen.
Oh, amen. Amen. I want to go to James Hudson down in Texas, all the way down in Texas. James, give us your closing remarks on the homeless crisis in America.
Yeah, well, whenever I try to come up with an answer about anything, man, I try to consult the Spirit of God and the Word of God, because the Word of God has pretty much the answer to everything that you can think of. And one thing that stands out to me is that as far as the homeless, you know, the Bible tells you that the poor will be with you always. There's going to always be homelessness. You're not going to ever cut it out. The poor will always be with you. There's going to always be people in need no matter what. So I think one of the brothers said it when they said, you know, if you give this money, the best thing you do to the leaders in the community to try to help with that, but they're always going to be poor, and people get poor for several different reasons. As the sister said, you know, she was homeless, she wasn't on any drugs. That's a lot. I work with mental health, so there are a lot of people with mental health issues that are out there that don't even want your help. As far as being homeless, they don't want to go into a shelter, they don't want to be in those around other people. So, you know, it's a big mental health crisis as well. So you have to look at all the different reasons why people are homeless, because there's a lot of different reasons why people actually become homeless. So I just think that, again, you know, we just do the best we can with our community leaders to try to help narrow it down as much as we possibly can. And that's my comment.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, here's my short. Thank you so much, Brother James Hudson. And let's give everybody a hand. Let's give everybody a hand. Everybody clap your hands on that right there. We just talked about the homeless crisis and situation in America, and it is really serious. I mean, I know President Biden is working on the war in Ukraine and all this other stuff going on and the elections coming up and all that stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. Until this homeless situation is nipped in the bud, this is a priority in America. Don't get me wrong, the war in Ukraine affects America too, but this homeless problem is a war on our streets that needs to be resolved, because there's people out there that are homeless, that have mental disabilities, that are doing some unbelievable things, and there is no control. There's nobody regulating it. There's nobody out there. The police are trying, but they can't. They're outnumbered. They're outnumbered. So this situation is WIP, work in progress. I hope that you governors and city council members that listen to my show every week and the people who come on who, you know, listen to the show, right or left wing, it doesn't matter. This is a everybody problem. This is not just a, like Josh said, and like James said, this is not just the government. This is all of our problem. And like Vera said, we need to roll our sleeves up there and volunteer our time. And like Linda Goldie said, we all need to get involved. This is all of our job to get out there. I mean, we feed the homeless. Yeah, we clothe the homeless. But guess what? That's not the solution to their problem. That's just putting a Band-Aid on, as Josh said. So let's keep in prayer for the homeless situation. I want Mayor Garcetti to do more than he's doing. He's so busy trying to be the ambassador of India or wherever it is that he has to do his job in Los Angeles, California as the mayor until his seat is taken or you know, till someone steps into his seat. He has a job to do. Stop doing press conferences and talking about the homeless problem and do something about it, Mayor. Yes, I'm calling you out, Pastor Eddie Justice Jones Jr. I want the mayor to do more and stop talking so much and start putting actions speak louder than words. This homeless situation can be, it can be much better, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, without further ado. Yes, sir.
Could I share this little experience? Last Wednesday when I was on my way to the community meeting, I'm going north on the 110 freeway. I'm down there by approaching Vernon. Man,
oh,
this
yeah.
woman was standing at the edge of the freeway, man. You have to assume she was living out there on the streets, and she was just out of her mind. She's at traffic 55, 65 miles an hour. She's at the edge of the freeway, and her head is just twirling around. She's just standing there, man, and it's just pitiful, man. It's saddening.
You know, Brother Clarence, I was driving down the street, right. I just came off the 110, but I was in another area over there off of near King Boulevard. There was a man standing there nude, completely nude, and he acted like he was a trophy. He was just standing there like he was a statue, and he was just standing there nude, but he was dirty. He was filthy dirty, and people were walking by him, and the police were nowhere around, and he's standing there nude. And imagine driving by that guy with your kids in the car. And you know, and then I'm driving down another street. This is the whole truth and nothing but the truth on La Cienega and Obama Street, which they turned Rodeo Road into Obama Street now. So Martin Luther King meets Obama. So I'm on La Cienega and Obama Street. A woman just pulls her pants down and defecates in front of everybody at the light. She just, a homeless woman just pulled her pants down and defecates right there. And then she just pulled her pants back up in an instant. So these are the things that we are seeing with our eyes, that we are seeing with our ears, that we are seeing with our nose, we're seeing it with our mouth, and we need to do more to regulate the situation. And so we're moving on, and we'll come back to this topic again because this is a very fired up topic. Our next topic is Why should we grow our own fruits and vegetables? Why should we grow our own fruits and vegetables? This is our next topic, so get ready for it and start thinking outside the box. Well, first of all, this is what I want to say. I've been going to the grocery stores lately, and certain things I can't find on the shelf right now, and one of them is Rice Krispies, and I love Rice Krispies, but I can't find any on the shelf. Bacon is $10 a pack for bacon. If you want to get some bacon, you better start getting ready to pay $10 for some bacon, okay? Steaks and meats are also high right now because of the shortage with the pandemic and everything going on. They have raised all our store prices, which it makes it hard for normal people to go in the store and shop for some good, healthy, good food. You don't want to just put anything in your body. You want to put the things that nourish you. And this is a civil rights issue. When you don't have the proper food to eat, this is a civil rights issue. When you don't let the farmers do what the farmers are supposed to do, this is a civil rights issue. When you can't go in the store and buy the food that you want without paying these unbelievable prices, this is why a lot of people are homeless. If you can't afford your place and you can't afford food to eat, well, where does that put you in a very precarious position to go out and commit crime to make sure it happens, along with the gas shortage, because people are drilling tanks and people's drilling holes in people's gas tank and draining their gas out. So this is showing you the sign of the times. And God is, he's looking at what we're doing, and he's looking at what the political people are doing, because they're living high off the hog, and they're going to get their groceries. But in a lot of our neighborhoods, I'll give you the perfect example. Crenshaw and Slauson, they shut the Ralphs down over there. Why would you close a grocery store in an African-American neighborhood where elderly people need groceries, babies need groceries? Come on now. So why should we grow our own fruits and vegetables? I'll tell you why. Because when you grow your own fruits and vegetables, at least you can go out into your backyard and get some tomatoes or eggplant. And I have someone who does that, and I saw their garden, and I was like, wow, I have to start doing this. They have their own cilantro, green onion. My sister Vera does it. She grows all kinds of stuff in her yard. Basil, carrots, corn on the cob. You can grow it, pineapples, watermelons. You can grow it in your own yard. And so when this recession is coming back, and there's already a food shortage because they can't get the cans that are coming over here down at the ports. They can't get the stuff in fast enough, and some of it's not getting into America, so we can't get our goods. So we can't get the stuff that we need on the shelves. So there's a shortage of meat. There's a shortage of certain fruits and vegetables, and there's definitely a shortage of food. So this is why I feel like we need to grow our own fruits and vegetables in our own front and backyard. And without further ado, I'm going to go with our guest that's on the line, Josh, first. Josh, what do you think about growing your own fruits and vegetables with all the stuff going on? Let me first ask you this. Have you went in the store and looked on the shelf and found how empty some of the shelves are?
Yes, sir, I have.
So go right ahead. Take the floor. Go ahead and take the floor, Josh. What do you think about why we should grow our own fruits and vegetables? Go ahead.
I just want to point out that nobody is stopping anybody from buying a parcel of land and growing their own food. After I say that, my family owns land. We've been farming it for over 100 years. I have corn, beans, and we have a slaughterhouse, so I can have meat. You know, I can have cheese. I can have everything that everybody enjoys eating all the time whenever I feel like it, because people before me made good decisions. Now, after that fact, I have chickens in a coop behind my house. I have a 2,000-square-foot garden that I'm growing tomatoes and green beans and all kinds of stuff in. I'm just saying, yeah, you should absolutely make sure that you are taking care of yourself. Nobody is guaranteed any food in their life. Nobody is guaranteed clean water in their life. You need to understand how to grow your own food. You need to understand how to clean your own water, because those are the two things you need to survive.
Wow, that let's give Josh a big hand. That's a good opening, Josh. Can we give Josh a big hand? Great opening. Great, great, great opening. I like that. Now, you know, Texas, there's a lot of farming going on in Texas, so I want to go to James Hudson. James, Why should we be growing our own fruits and vegetables right now?
Well, like you said, this is Texas, man, so we already do that. Just about all of my neighbors, and I'm kind of surrounded, very diverse, because you have a lot of Hispanics along with blacks that live in the area that I live in, and, man, it's almost like people compete with their gardens out here. They've got tomatoes, and the neighbors are actually trading different fruits and vegetables, and it's just amazing to see how that works. So we got all these fruit trees and you know, you go out there and they've got their corn and they've got the greens and, oh, my God, they've got the okra, you name it. It's just like you would not believe. I was just out yesterday and neighbors were giving me greens and collard greens. And, oh, it's just amazing. Everybody is well, I mean, Texas, one thing I'll say about them, they see those shelves emptying out, like you're saying. So they are producing their own food in their own backyards now. That's what's really happening here. Oh,
James, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think the shelves are emptying out, and why can't we find the basic food group ingredients that we need on the shelves in the store? Why is that happening? And then when you answer that, I want to ask you one more question. What will happen when they shut those stores down and those people who don't know how to farm and don't know how to grow vegetables, do you think it's time for them to learn now? This is the time, because famine is coming to America. Go right ahead, James.
Yeah, I certainly do. I think that one reason why these shelves are empty now is that I just don't think we can keep up with the demand, the supply and demand. I think once we dealt with this pandemic and whether people agree or not, you know, about we shut down so many things, and especially with those trucks not being able to roll like they were able to roll before, and we're still playing catch up, you know, and people don't have their freezers and cabinets full like they used to, so they were using those supplies when they shut everything down. And now everybody's playing, you know, you're talking millions and millions of people that are out there trying to grab stuff off of shelves. So the supply and the demand. So that would be my reason for why it's so hard to get things now. And, yeah, I think they should, you know, it used to be a time, even when I was coming up, in school, they taught you agriculture, right? They taught you how to grow different things, whatever. So I think, you know, you're going to have to start hitting schools and everything else, all these civic organizations that bring people in. They need to teach them how to grow their own crops. And which is not a hard thing to do once you really start knowing how to just hold ground. It's not hard at all. Well, I found that out for myself. So I said, you could just drop some seeds off in the ground. You got fertile ground, and you will start growing, producing things. So it's nothing hard to do. You just have to have the property to do it on.
That's so true. That's so true. Thank you very much, Brother James. That was some very pertinent information. I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones. Vera, you grow a lot of your own herbs, fruits, vegetables. Why is it so important for us? I mean, with all the stuff just disappearing off the shelves, and I really feel like famine is coming to America, just like famine came to Egypt and the recession back in the 30s and the 40s when people were standing in line to get a bowl of soup because there was a food shortage. And I feel like every so many years, along with the one percenters, And I want to say this, and I mean this from my heart. I really believe that the plandemic was planned to happen so that they could not have to feed so many mouths, because they killed off millions of people with the coronavirus, millions all over the world. And that's millions of more people that you don't have to feed. And even with that going on, now there's still a shortage, and there's still millions of mouths to feed, billions around the world. So go right ahead, take the floor, Vera. Why is it important to grow your own fruits and vegetables?
Well, Eddie, for me, it's great exercise, and I enjoy eating some healthy things where I know there are no pesticides. And then it's fresh, and all it takes is a little time, a little TLC. You know, God provides the sun, we provide the water, and it's no toxins. It's organic, and one great thing is that we can share with others, with our family, friends, and neighbors, and we can also teach our young, our children, and our grandchildren, because my granddaughter enjoys gardening, and then it helps the environment to do so, and we have a lot of things that we could just take a little piece of, like a little piece of basil or green onions, put it in some water and allow some of those things to grow. And do some research, because right now I have some green, cilantro, tomatoes, basil, rosemary, the avocado tree is coming on in, and the kumquat tree, and I have aloe vera, which is great for digestions, our skin, and our hair. So, yeah, I have some other things that I'm putting together at this time, along with sunflowers. So that's my joy, of putting on some music, going outside with some water, and that's some exercise.
Wow, thank you, Vera, so much. That's very wonderful what you just did. And I can't wait to come and get ready for our segment in health and wellness in just a little while. Well, I want to spend a little bit more time on this. Linda Goldie, all the way from Oregon. And, you know, they got some farms out there in Oregon, too. But, Linda Goldie, why is it important to grow your own fruits and vegetables right now? Go right ahead, Linda. Take the floor.
Well, it's important if you can. But I live in an apartment in a senior community. They just sold the property, and we have new management. And all of the planters that I had on my fence, I had to take down because they have new rules that we can't have planters on the deck. And so now I have no privacy, and I can't grow things that might, you know, peek over the top of the fence. So it limits what I can have. And, you know, I'm very discouraged about the whole thing. And, you know, also there's these chemtrails that the planes come and do these chemtrails,
yes,
which, you know, are polluting the stuff that you're trying to grow. So I'm very discouraged,
yes,
about the possibility, and I have limited space to do it as well. So, you know, I do what I can, but, you know, I'm not able to grow any vegetables, not any fruits. I have some tiny little blueberry plants that the birds are going to eat probably. But, yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. Yeah, thank you very much, Linda. That's important to you know, that you were working on growing your own vegetables and everything, and then the management made you take your planters away. I would go to the city council meeting and I would talk to the management and see what you could do about that. And if you need some help, reach out to me and Brother Clarence and Sister Vera and everybody on the show, and we'll do what we can to help you have your right. You have a right to be able to grow your fruits and vegetables and you pay for that area. So that's your area. But here's the deal, you guys. When you see things not being on the shelf that should be on the shelf, that's regularly on the shelf, and it's not, and you walk in a grocery store and that shelf is empty, you know something's coming, because that is so not regular. That is not normal. That's not the norm. Something is happening, and it has something to do with your rights, because you have a right to feed your body healthy, natural things. I have an associate and a good friend of mine who is so prepared, they grow their own fruits and vegetables. If something goes down right now, if they shut down all the stores, shut off all your cell phones, shut off all your take you from your whatever, and they block off all these freeways and call martial law over the United States all of a sudden, and they're going to hit Los Angeles, New York, and all the big cities first, then the family has to have a plan where all the family members can come and get fruits and food and vegetables. So is it smart to have a deep freezer? Yes. Is it good to stock up on your groceries right now? Yes, stock up on your canned goods, your water. And as Josh said, you need to know how to purify your water. And you need to know how to get your water so you can hold on to your water. Some people have rain barrels, and they let the rainwater fall into their barrels, and then they purify that water and make it drinkable, okay? But we have to remember never to forget, famine is coming to America. I don't know what time, I don't know what day, I don't know where, when it's going to start, but if you ask me, it's already started right now, and it's in the Bible that it's going to start. So, okay, I think we lost Josh, but let's see, we have a caller. Caller in the 323-646 area code, are you there? Caller in the 323-646 area code, are you there? Did you want to say something on the show? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. We also have a caller in the 310-977 area code. Caller in the 310-977 area code. Good morning. Did you want to say something on our show today? Caller in the 310-977 area code. Did you want to say something on the show today? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. Some people just want to hear it. They don't want to speak. Okay, this is going to take me.
Can I say something?
Yes, you can. Who's this?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Oh, is this Josh?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, Josh, I thought we lost you, but we didn't. Okay, go right ahead, Josh.
Yeah, no, when it comes to a lot of stuff, I don't know, because people are like, you know, maybe, you know, just get used to farming, you know, just like local, small, making a garden. I would probably advise people to look into how the Amish people live, just like for a little bit, just to understand how they're able to sustain a lifestyle without electricity. You know, that's mm-hmm. actually kind of, you know, that's the kind of the next step, because once you lose food and water, I mean, who would even venture to call losing comfort after that fact to be ridiculous? So, you know, survivalism, a little bit of bushcraft, learning how to build a trap, not hard to do. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again, Vera.
I said yes. That makes a lot of sense. It really does.
Yes, it does. Now, I want everybody to say good morning to Aretha Adams-Jones. Good morning, Aretha Adams-Jones. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey there. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Happy Monday.
Dr. Aretha.
Hi, Dr. Aretha.
Hi, the co-host.
So happy to have you on our show. And Aretha, say hello to Josh. Josh, say hello to Aretha.
Hi, Josh. Happy Monday, Josh.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm well. Thank you very much for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
Now, it's 10:26 a.m. in just a few moments. At 10:30 sharp, we'll be going into our regular segment, which is Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. We affectionately call her Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. We'll be doing Mental Health in You, which earlier we talked about the homeless crisis and how it's out of control and how a lot of homeless people have mental disabilities. And it's been just a really tough time for people that are homeless and they have mental disabilities. And we talked about that. Our subject is, why is it important to grow our own fruits and vegetables? And you walk in the store and you see all the stuff flying off the shelf, and some of the shelves are bare. And I mean bare, and they don't have the food that you want. I asked a lady yesterday, I said, excuse me, I was looking for this certain type of food, and I asked them where it was, and they were like, well, the trucks haven't brought it in yet. And I'm like, well, when will it? Well, we don't know. They don't even know when the food is coming in. And they should know. They used to know. They say they used to tell you, well, our order is coming in on this day, but now they can't tell you. It's unpredictable. And if it's unpredictable, that government is unpredictable. And if the government is unpredictable, it's going to be unpredictable for the people. And we need our fruits and vegetables and our nourishments. But if a famine, when famine comes, and it will, you want to be able to go to your storehouse and pull out some brown rice. You want to pull out your apples and oranges, your own cilantro, your own onions. You want to make sure you have your own fruits and vegetables growing in your yard, front and back, collard greens, kale, eggplant, carrots, pineapples, watermelon, in your own yard. And I know some people that already have chickens in their yard, and they don't have to go get those eggs from the store because they just go out there to their chicken coop and grab their eggs. And I mean, this is real. And they go ahead and make their own eggs. So with that being said, I'm going to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, why is it important to have our own fruits and vegetables?
Yes, Pastor Eddie, and to all our panelists and to all our listeners, it's very important to grow our own fruits and vegetables. But I'd like to go outside of the box a little bit and cover some of the structure on this topic that we may have not covered. When we look at these large industries, these large corporations that grow our fruits, our vegetables, you know, they grow to make profit. Some of them may not care
on who they're feeding and what they're getting fed. And so when I say that, I talk about when scientists intervention into the growth of our fruit, vegetables, and even our meat life, they tend to learn how to grow things to gain maximum profit. We have now seen where scientists are messing with the DNA, and now they're capable to manipulating the strands of the DNA, which is called the RNA, where they can target a certain race, a certain male or female, to manipulate certain things. You know, I look at fruit now. You see oranges now with no seed. You see strawberries and grapes big as you ever seen them. You know, a grape looks like a watermelon. The strawberry looks like a melon.
Brother Clarence. Brother Clarence, hold that thought 1 second. I think we have a Cousin V here. Caller in the 936-299 area code. Are you there?
Yes.
Caller in the 936. It's Cousin V. Everybody say good morning to Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V. Good afternoon.
All the way down. Are you still in Florida?
Yes. I'll be here for a while.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody in April, we love it in Florida, South Beach. Without further ado, we're gonna come right back. We're getting ready to start our segment in just a few minutes, and we're gonna go into our regular segments. And just matter of fact, it's 10:31. Clarence, give us really quick your closing remarks on why it's important to grow our own fruits and vegetables. When you walk in the grocery store, all the stuff is the shelves are bare, and you can't even find Rice Krispies. You can't find Wheaties. You can't find certain fruits and vegetables in the store now because there's a shortage, and that shelf is clear, and that tells me that famine is in our town. So without further ado, Clarence, give us your closing remarks on fruits and on why we should grow our own fruits and vegetables.
Yes, and when we see the scientists manipulating our fruits and vegetables, it goes back to what Josh, James, Vera, and even Linda Goldie said. It's so important for us to grow our own. I remember as a kid, it was vital that, you know, families got out together and went in the backyard and learned how to grow certain plants, certain plant life.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the city, we are so squeezed in together here, it's difficult to grow certain things. And then the hustle and the bustle in the cities, people forget about even having a simple flower in the home. You know, what's so important about the natural life, plants and vegetables. So I think that we have that reminder from certain our callers and even our hosts to get people to grow again or to continue to grow plant and vegetable life, because when we grow ourselves, we know what's in that plant. We know it has not been manipulated by some science gene or structure that can change the outcome of that plant. I look at some of these foods now, and then when I look at people, you know, I never seen society where so many people are overweight, you know, and it's in these foods. If they're putting something in the food to make it bigger, we're getting that same substance. And for some of us, we're getting that too. So that's it, Pastor Eddie.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to say this to everybody out there. I saw a chicken that had more muscles than all of us put together. That chicken was so big, I was like, whoa, that chicken was – it had biceps, triceps, and everything.
Like, I think I've seen that in the market myself, that same chicken.
Yeah, that chicken.
The same form.
Oh, my gosh. Well, without further ado, we have a caller in the 936-417 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 936-417 area code. Are you there? Okay, I think they just want to listen. Our caller, that's someone from Texas. 936-417 area code. We're going to put them on hold. And now it's time to start our regular segment. So we're going to start off with our sports report. and with Cousin V all the way down from Florida. Without further ado, and it's 9:34 a.m., and we have a really tight schedule here. We got a lot to hear. Go right ahead, Cousin V. Take the floor. Give us the sports report.
I worked a double yesterday, so I'm sorry for coming out so late, but that double shift, it was the worst Sunday working I ever seen. So just say a prayer for us up here at work.
Okay.
We had lots of sports this weekend, especially they were asking me to do the NCAA women's, and if any of you all were glued to the television, it was a spectacular weekend because they went from the Elite Eight to the Final Four down to the championship all in one weekend of very much excitement. Those women were putting up threes. It was Louisville number one versus number one South Carolina, and South Carolina and Aaliyah Boston overcame them 72-59. And then we had UConn Huskies number two versus number one Stanford, but UConn Huskies came out on top. They end up playing the championship on Sunday, and it was the UConn Huskies and the South Carolina Gamecocks. South Carolina overcame, and they beat them with 49 offensive rebounds to 29 rebounds with a score of 64-49. So it was an amazing, amazing weekend all the way down to the wire. So they were hitting baskets and no backboard. It was just amazing just to see that happen this weekend. Then also, they also have the ESPN had the WrestleMania was held in the DFW area at the AT&T Stadium in Arlington, home of the Dallas Cowboys. They had the former announcer, 76-year-old Vince McMahon, got in the ring, and that was amazing to see because you can tell that he was 76 years old. He was moving around just as much as the young one. So he overcame Pat McAfee, who also was part of the WrestleMania in the past. But in the end, in the final, the WWE Championship, it was Roman Reigns who won two titles in the main event. And then in the Major League Baseball, we just want to say congratulations to the MLB for honoring, which is going to be April 15th, the Jackie Robinson's 50th anniversary day, 2022. And they have a whole thing on him on ESPN. So if anybody watches ESPN, you should be able to see it. But Jackie Robinson not only played baseball, but he marched for first-class citizenship for us blacks with Martin Luther King. And now his son was given the story, and he lives in Tanzania. And him and his 10 children run a coffee farm there in Tanzania.
Wow.
And then we had the PGA Valero Texas Open. It had an $8,600,000 purse, and it was played in San Antonio. J.J. Spahn, he's 31 year from Los Angeles, California. He won first place from the U.S. for the U.S. Then you had Matt Kuchar from Florida, a U.S. citizen, and Matt Jones, he was from Sydney, Australia. He won third. Adam Hadwin won fourth. And Troy Merritt from the U.S. won fourth. And then we had the LPGA also played this weekend. And the women's purse, like they say, women are still underpaid. They in sports, so it is a big thing going on about that. But the purse for them is $5 million. First place was Jennifer Kupcho, and she won a car also. In addition to her winning, she won first place. And then Jessica Carter from Florida. And then Pia Babnik from Slovenia was third. Lexi Thompson from right down the street from me, Coral Springs, Florida, won fourth place. And then Patty Tabanakit from Thailand won fifth place. And then my all you Tiger Woods fans, he is on the prowl. He is up in Augusta, Georgia, ready, trying to get ready for the Masters. He was out on the golf course trying to see how his surgically repaired leg would work. And he has an honor of being able to get a game time decision. So he has until Thursday to tee off time to make his final decision. So we're going to pray that we see some more Tiger Woods in golf. The purse for the Masters is going to be $11,500,000. And then just a little bit in the NFL. Yes, we have NFL in the offseason. Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. are now free agents. Right now, they're still unsigned. The Miami Dolphins traded off Devontae Parker to the New England Patriots. So we're going to see how everything goes in the upcoming season, which starts again in August. And then for all us Colin Kaepernick fans, hats off to his unwavering support from his former 49ers coach Jim Harbaugh. He was doing exhibition throws for the NFL scouts in Michigan for their spring game. And he said, I can still play and still throw it. So he also has written a book, a new book. It just came out April the 2nd. So we want to support him, make it a number one seller. And I looked and I got a chance to see what the book looks like. It is so colorful and everything, but it's called I Color Myself Different. And I would give more on that story next week. But in the news, some is saying Las Vegas Raiders rumor mailbag says sign Colin Kaepernick. SB Nation says Kansas City is named for a top landing spot. And Fan Nation says should the Cowboys Jerry Jones sign quarterback Colin Kaepernick. So we will see what comes on in the future. And then in the NBA on Sunday, the Miami Heat is number one in the East, but the Mavs beat the Bucks 118-112. The Knicks beat the Magic 118-88. The Heat beat the Raptors 114-109. And they welcomed Kyle Lowry back in Miami. So hats off to them. The 76ers beat the Cavaliers 112-108. The Celtics beat the Wizards 144-102. The Pistons beat the Pacers 122-117. Lakers lost to the Nuggets 129-118. The Clippers beat the Pelicans 119-100. Rockets lost to the Timberwolves 139-132. The Warriors beat the Kings 109-90. The Spurs beat the Trailblazers 113-92. And the Suns lost to the Thunder. And Thunder seems to be taking over because right now a storm is brewing right here in Florida. As I said, then also Dallas, Texas, because my daughter said it's thunderstorms with hail and tornado warnings. So we just want to pray for our whole nation. The WNBA draft is going to be held April the 11th. And, of course, I said the Masters is going to be April the 7th. It starts this Thursday. But tonight, April the 4th, we will be glued to the TV once again because it will be the NCAA Men's Championship, which will be University of North Carolina versus Kansas City. And then I want to just say happy birthday to my granddaughter, Nyla Jones, in Katy, Texas. And her mom's birthday is tomorrow, Vanessa Jones, my daughter-in-law. So this is my sports report, and have a great week.
All right, thank you for the sports report. Thank you, Cousin B.
All right.
Cousin B. Thank you, Cousin B. Now, without further ado, because it's 10:44 a.m. and we got to get everybody in, I want to say happy birthday to my daughter, Talana Jones. Happy birthday to my daughter, Talana Jones, who does Words of Wisdom.
She's not,
yes, Yes, and happy birthday to Deonna Jones, my niece Deonna Jones, my brother DJ's daughter. Happy birthday to and also too, it was the anniversary of Marvin Gaye. It was Marvin Gaye's birthday on April the 2nd too as well. So to all the April people, happy birthday. And without further ado, it is time for health and wellness. And following health and wellness, we're going to go right into mental health and youth. So Vera, take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Okay, so thank you, Eddie. So today on Health and Wellness, we'll speak about honoring your spirit. And these are the fruits of the spirit that we were given by God. So first of all, I would say joy. And we could do joy by having more happiness with our thoughts and our memories in which we're living in at the moment. Next, I would say patience. And by we could practice more mindfulness. Then again, we have love. And love is kind. And love is things that we enjoy. And the next would be peace. We need all peace of mind. And we could do that by meditation and spending time in nature, decluttering and being grateful. Then there's kindness. Now, kindness, we could purchase a meal for someone. We could share a coffee, buy a pair of socks, or offer a helping hand. We could just smile with our eyes if you're wearing a mask. We could send a letter or card. And the next would be goodness. Now, God shows goodness of love, so we can all show goodness by loving someone and kind by just listening. And last but not least, we have two more, actually, which will be faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is just keeping our word and respecting one another and being loyal and trustworthy and be a friend. The next would be gentleness. Now, act as if you're treating an infant or an elder or a pet. Be gentle. And the last would be self-control. So let's rest, get more sleep, set a goal, and then learn a new way of doing things. And in the month of April, it's springtime, so let's eat more strawberries, apples, kumquats, blackberries, blueberries, cherries, grapefruit, mandarines, lemons, oranges, tangerines, mango, bananas, pineapple, and cucumber. What you can plant this month would be cucumber, honeydew melons, and tomatoes. Amen. That's health and wellness for this week.
All right, Vera, that was really good, really good. Thank you, Vera. Thank you for health and wellness. That was really, really good, really good. Wow, wow, wow. And it is now 10:47 a.m., and without further ado, we're going to have Aretha Adams-Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, give us mental health. And you, please take the floor, Aretha. Give us mental health and you.
Good morning to Pastor Eddie, all the co-hosts and guests, listeners. This morning I'm coming to you with the word hope. Hope. And according to Psychology Today, they gave an awesome definition of hope. And this is by Dr. David Feldman. He says, the power to access the belief that things can get better, no matter the challenges, can quite literally change the world. Hope can change the world. And few people would use the word hopeful to describe the state of our world today, but we also know that hope can exist even in the midst of pain. Rebecca Solnit wrote, your opponents would love you to believe that it's hopeless, that you have no power, that there's no reason to act, that you can't win. But in closing, I want to say that hope is a gift. You don't have to surrender. Hope is a power you don't have to throw away. Mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
Well, let's give it up for mental health and you. Mental health and you.
Right.
Dr. Reason, you are amazing. Wow, wow,
amen.
Wow. Now, amen, amen, amen. Before we go to Clarence M. Allen, which Clarence M. Allen is going to be holding two positions today. He's going to do Regulate the Manual, and he's going to do the commentary, which is the commentary of what happened on our show today. But before we do that, we're going to go to Linda Goldie for poetry, and then we're going to go to our guest, Josh, and I want to ask Josh how he liked our show and what he did like about our show. Without further ado, Linda Goldie, take the floor. Give us poetry in motion. Go right ahead, Linda.
I have a short one and a longer one, and I hope I have time to do both. The first one is in reply to your offer to send me flowers and a card. Flowers fade and cards are lost, and considering the cost, it is enough for me to be held in prayer because you care. Like part of your own family, I'm privileged to be. Thank you for your special thought. It will never be forgot.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, Linda, give us your second poetry in motion. Go right ahead, Linda. Give us your second point.
Okay. I may not be beautiful or strong and smart as you, but God still gave me something he knew that I could do. My talents may be minimal compared to someone younger, but God still gave me seeds to sow that grow to help some hunger. Why should I stress that I have less compared to someone else? I'm happy you put up with me, and that I will confess. The bumpy ride of fame and pride may never drive my way, but God will still supply my needs tomorrow and today.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. That was Linda Goldie. And this is where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And without further ado, I want to go to our guest, Josh. Josh, we really enjoyed you on the show today. You brought some very pertinent information. How did you like the show, and what did you like about the show? Go right ahead, Josh. Take the floor.
Oh, I enjoyed the ability for everybody to speak their own mind and bring different perspectives to the situation and actually provide solutions to the situations that are ruining our entire world right now. I have a shorter definition than the doctor, though. Hope is upward aim. It's when you have something to aim for that's higher than yourself and you aim upward, something to strive towards. Yeah. No, God bless all of you. No, I enjoyed this entirely. Good people.
Okay,
here.
Well, don't go anywhere because we want you to
thank
hear the commentary.
Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you for coming on.
Now, Josh, I wrote your number down. I'm going to call you outside of the show because I want to, you know, invite you back on because you're talking about farming and meeting and all, and, you know, so I want to get more information from you. But without further ado, it is time for Regulate the Manual with Clarence M. Allen. It's 10:52 a.m. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Regulate the Manual.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie, for allowing me to share this book. I started out the year with the gangs, with the gang members, and today we'll be entering the gang bangers. You know, first I want to say condolences to all those families affected up in Sacramento, California, the mass shooting. Condolences to all other families who have been affected over this past week by some kind of violence, and even the people in Ukraine and around the world. Welcome. Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome to everyone who has made his or her attempts with attending the House of Bang. Only the finest gang bangers are allowed. Nothing less is allowed inside. So let's open the doors and open those doors up wide. To each and every gangbanger, welcome and come on inside. Do not be scared, Crips, Bloods, SAs, Asians, white boys, and to any and everybody else who think they can bang. Now the days have come to put your claim to the fame with this gangbanging thing. Gangbangers, it does not matter what race, creed, or color you are, nor does it matter where you're from. When you're a gangbanger, where you come from does not matter. People, they definitely know when a gangbanger is around. Now that we have all you so-called gangbangers in here, have a seat. Now that you're all here, I have a little surprise for you all. Hey, boys, let's allow these true well-known OG gangbangers inside of the House of Bang. In order to eliminate some of the DA rejects, and to keep from having many mistakes, we must check out each and every one's credentials. There must be the assurances that each and every one's reputed credentials are authenticated and not booted. There are all kind of fake fraud and part-time bros who are always perpetrating to be a banger, and they are not.
There will always be someone who will be willing to perpetrate to be a banger, trying to get in the house of bang, perpetrating for the most part and fully perpetrating the life to live as a gangbanger and won't put up one duke. So check everyone out. I mean, check everyone, get checked out. There are only the few, the proud, and the gangbangers who are loud inside of the house of bang. You know, in this house of bang, where I invited all the gangbangers to attend, the reason that there's no weapons, you're supposed to be able to hold your own. And we know every day there's a new face coming along life with the same old trick. We've seen the trick many times. It's just a new face. So, you know, when you get into this house of bang, I have what we call the dentist. Next week we're going to read about the dentist. He's coming in, checking for false teeth and fake implants. So I thank everyone for listening to Regulate the Manual. Yeah, he's checking for false teeth and fake implants. The dentist will be checking your mouthpiece out next week. So make sure you tune into the Eddie Jones Radio Blog Talk Show, because we're into the gangbangers. It don't get no better than this. Go to regulatethemanual.com. You can get this book and hit me directly. This book is written, and you are in here.
All right, Brother Clarence, hit me on. Thank you so much. Thank you. We like that book, Regulate the Manual. And now that we've gotten that, and I just can't thank everybody so much for both of our topics. But let me give you really quick, before we go into the commentary, our word of the week. Get your pencil and paper out. Our word of the week. The word of the week, after we talked about your food, fruits and vegetables, and then the homeless situation, our word of the week is survival. The word of the week is survival. Make that applicable to your week. You can use it in a lot of different ways. And our scripture of the week is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. And it reads, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrong. I'm going to read that one more time. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrong. So spread that love, y'all. Write that scripture down. And without further ado, it is time for the commentary. Clarence and Malin, please take the floor. Hallelujah, and give us the commentary.
First, I'd like everyone to know I cannot feel the shoes of Professor Reams, even if I use both hands and both feet. Nobody does this commentary like Professor Reams, but I will do my best to give you the rest of this Eddie Blog Talk Radio Show. You know, we came on this show talking about the Will Smith situation, the aftermath of what has happened in the last week. What would you do if you were in that position, especially after you've seen Chris Rock, the accolades he got from his stand-up comedy tour that has started since the Oscars? And we talked about a lot. We covered the homeless in America. All of our panelists, even our caller who are panelists also, Josh, Brother James, they both gave some great input to some of the solutions. Vera Jones gave us some extraordinary input. Pastor Eddie and I also had two pennies that I was allowed to put in, and we give God all the thanks and praise for those who are living out there on the street, that he continue to strengthen them, encourage them, and give them the faith, the hope, the strength, and the will continue to live forward. We went also, why should we grow our own fruit and vegetables? And we thank Josh for his input. I have to imagine he has farmland out there. He talked about growing corn and other substances. He talked about a slaughterhouse. And it's huge to hear when you live in the city every day, and we don't think of these things in the city. We just think of going to the market, we get our apples, we get our oranges, we get our boxed up stuff in cans, or to the meat section, you get your frozen products, you already made cheese, you already made. I remember we used to make biscuits and things and cakes from scratch. I remember when moms or mothers used to make that,
And so we went into our regular segments. Vera talked about health and wellness, and she gave us the fruits of the Spirit, which is peace, love, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you know, I love what she said about it was an exercise for her to go out and work in her garden. I thought that was very inspiring. Our caller, Josh from Illinois. Thank you, Josh, for calling in. We thank you, and we applaud you for calling in, for applying yourself to this show and giving us a different aspect and an in-look on the outcomes on our topics and even your closing remarks. So we want to thank you, Josh, and he talked about some solutions with our homeless, the rehabilitation. We need rehabilitation. We need to apply retraining to those who want that. He talked about putting a Band-Aid on a knife wound. Man, no gauze, no sutures, just a Band-Aid. Here you go. And we're still leaking. Linda Goldie, she called in, our regular host from up in, I believe, in Kingstown, Oregon. Yes, Kingstown, and she's our Poetry in Motion, and she shared with us her homeless experience. And she also said, and some other panelists included, where everybody homeless is not a drug addict. You know, everybody homeless is not a criminal. It's some people who just had misfortunes. James Hudson from Houston, Texas, he called in. He shared in his intake. And he wanted to mention about Joshua Johnson. Joshua Johnson was a young man who was killed by, I believe it was an off-duty undercover cop in Texas. And I like to share these numbers here. So if you get your pen and paper, we want to support the family Joshua Johnson. And all we're asking for is ask these civil servants for a full investigation. You can call Rodney Ellis, 713-715-6027. That's 713-715-6027. Call Adrian Garcia, area code 713-755-6220. That's 713-755-6220. Call Tom Ramsey at 713-755-6306. That's 713-755-6306. And Linda Hildegold at 713-274-7000. That's 713-274-7000. Last but not least, Jack Cagle at the 832 area code, 856-2354. That's area code 832-856-2354. We want to thank Brother James Hudson for calling in, reminding us on that. We had Dr. Arisa Adam Jones inspiring us with hope. The power to express higher things, a higher belief to get better. We had Cousin B with the sports report, and she talked about the Final Four. Tiger Woods is down in Atlanta practicing for the Masters. We don't know if he's going to play yet. I thought I'd throw that in. And thank Pastor Eddie for allowing me to read a part of the book, Regulate the Manual, the Gang Bangers, who were all invited to the House of Bang, because everybody who's playing in these gangs, all of them are not gang bangers. You have some that support, and you have others who do the work. And once again, you have tuned into the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can dial 646-787-8064. Tell your friends to call in. I happen to go to blogtalkradio.com. Hit the search button. Hit Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions. Tune in. We'll see you back Monday. And that's my closing remark. God bless you. God keep you. Have a wonderful week.
What a commentary. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you,
Brother
Terrence.
All right,
good
Terrence.
Commentary, man.
There is hope.
Yeah. Wow, that was really good. That was really good. I, you know, to everyone on the show, to all of our co-producers and all of our co-hosts, thank you so much. I want to say this. Thank you, Cousin V, who has inspired me tremendously to continue on with the radio show all the way out from Florida. And I want to shout out all my family in Texas and Chicago and Los Angeles, California, and around the world. Thank you, Josh, for joining us today. I look forward to connecting with you and building a better relationship so we can expand on and expound on farming. I want to thank Aretha Adams-Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, for her wonderful information about mental health and youth. My sister, Vera Jean Jones, for health and wellness. My daughter, Talana Jones, for words of wisdom. Linda Goldie, poetry in motion. Clarence M. Allen, for Regulate the Manual and the Haunted Soul Brother. You are on, and also, too, we don't want to leave out Melanie Aubrey, and we with financial literacy, which she'll be back on soon. And we don't want to leave out Professor Reams with social justice and the commentary. What an amazing show it has been with some amazing topics. And this show would be nothing without all of you who listen from all over the world and all around the United States. Thank you very much. And I want to say to you, no matter what you do, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. And most of all, remember, the best is yet to come. But here is the real question. And the real question is, what's going on? God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And the best is yet to come. I don't own the rights to this music, but I love it. And it is the question again, what's going on? God bless you. I love y'all. Peace.
Mother, mother,
there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother,
brother, brother, brother,
there's far too
many of you dying. Don't
you know
we've got to find
to bring some
to
loving here today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Father,
Father,
we don't need escalate.
See,
war is not the answer.
For only love can conquer hate.
You know,
don't you find a way
to bring some love in here today.
Pick it mine.
Don't punish me with brutality.
Come on, talk to me.
So you can see.
What's going on?
See,
we all know about all this coronavirus, Delta variant, and Omicron. You see the food flying off the shelves in the stores, the war going on in Ukraine that's affecting America, the policing is out of control, the crime in the street, the homeless problem. Some people are hungry, listen. Mother, mother, everybody thinks that we're wrong. We ain't wrong no more, but who are they to judge us?
The biggest offense.
Simply because our hair is long. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on and talk to me. So you can see. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Can't wait to get back next week and talk about what's going on. I want to send a special prayer out to Chris Rock and Will Smith, and that everything will work out fine with their relationship and that they'll rekindle themselves. And I'm praying for Jada that she'll stop hurting Will Smith in front of the world. So God bless y'all. What's going on? The Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. The Eddie Jessica Jones Radio Talk Show. We talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Peace.